This is a supplemental lecture concerning the Gilded Age. There's two sets of lecture sheets that we're working from. One summarizes the race relations in the South, the rise of capitalist business and monopolies, and labor unions, as well as immigration, used for one set of presentations. There is a more thorough Gilded Age presentation from 1877 to 1896, which I'm going to draw from now, and using the normal lecture and the supplement lecture, one should be able to have all of the Gilded Age material, at least from 1877 to 1896, mastered. There was something left off of the main lecture because I got the recorder started late, and has to do with labor union situations. Let me fill that in and discuss that. You'll notice that on the regular lectures it picks up with the 1877 Great Railroad Strike. That is number 70 on the more thorough presentation material. And so I'm going to back up and pick up items from that sheet. Items 66 through about item 69, and that's what was missing from the other presentation. So here's the start of 66. It is to do with the first labor union that was of national scope established in the United States in 1866. Its president was William H. Silvis. These are all, most of these proper nouns are on the lecture sheet. 1866, William H. Silvis with the National Labor Union. It was a union that was organized with skilled workers only into craft unions. In that respect, it'll be similar to the AFL, which is down a little later. But like the Knights of Labor in number 67, which we'll talk about, it sought utopian political solutions such as workers' cooperatives, legislation to provide such things as 8-hour workdays, workers' cooperatives. They also sought workers' compensation and minimum wage, maximum hours, and immigration restriction. And it's not so much because they were anti-immigrant as it was that they were anti-surplus labor. 3 years later, another union which would far surpass them in numbers, in item 67 appears, it's the Knights of Labor, not as the one big union, Knights of Labor. It recruited both skilled and unskilled workers, was willing to accept all races, all sexes, and all beliefs. They, too, wanted to recruit immigrant workers, but they, because their strength in numbers, but opposed the further increase in immigrant, especially, well, no, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say especially unskilled immigrant labor, but either way, they were opposed to surplus labor. And they started in 1869 under President Uriah S. Stevens, who kept it as a secret order, a secret organization, something like the Masons at one time were. In 1879, a decade after it started, Terence Victor Powderly became its second president. It opened up for more recruitment. And the Knights of Labor's, here's how to characterize it in comparison to the NLU or the later AFL. Knights of Labor is willing to put all workers of all backgrounds, skilled and unskilled, into one giant organization for the power that numbers provide. They did not try to achieve things through direct action tactics such as strikes or boycotts, which they felt gave the union, which would give the union the radical image that European confrontational unions had considered. Hold a second, I'm going to get a piece of paper. Just be right back. So instead, like the NLU, they decided to go after utopian political solutions, and the same ones listed with the NLU go here in respect to 8-hour workday, workman's compensation, minimum wage, maximum hour standards. Although opposed to strikes and boycotts and seeking political solutions, they grew immensely. In 1885, as a result of an unauthorized wildcat railroad strike called the Wabash Railroad Strike, that's listed in 67. A year later, in item 68, the event that brought their demise occurs. It's known as the Haymarket Square Riot. Oh, I got to pick up something again. the Haymarket Square riot involved the following circumstance. Workers across the country had set May 1st, the traditional Labor Day of unions, May 1st as a day to achieve nationally a congressionally enacted 8-hour workday, meaning if people work longer than 8 hours a day, they'll receive time and a half compensation payment. Their hopes were to gather 100,000 strong for a rally in Chicago, which fell far short of their numbers. But nonetheless, people met in Chicago on May 1st. On May 2nd, the McCormick Harvester Company, a company that manufactures reapers for harvesting farm wheat and millet and things of that nature, underwent a cost-cutting measure by laying off workers and providing wage cuts. So unemployed McCormick Harvester workers met in the bars and taverns with visiting demonstrators, and they chose to make May 4th a day when they were together at the Haymarket Vegetable Square, open market square in Chicago, they hopefully wanted to gather 10,000 strong to make a protest of both the McCormick decisions as well as the 8-hour workday. They gathered. It was dreary and cold. A few thousand were there. They started to dwindle off. When it was down to near hundreds, they were just about to break up when police showed up and then bullhorns demanded that they disperse. At that point, they refused, and it became confrontational, and somebody, nobody knows who or what, where, threw a bomb which killed a number of police and far more workers. When this was all brought to trial, some 16 leaders of the Knights of Labor who had been at the rally giving speeches were not only arrested but given murder charges, of which I think 3 were carried out through executions. And all this negative publicity of the Knights of Labor being associated with the violence of the Haymarket Square incident and the bomb helped cement and strengthen the belief that unions were basically radical and dangerous, and that the Knights of Labor itself was riddled with anarchistic leaders. And we've talked about anarcho-syndicalism before, but we will again, or you will hear it on the regular lecture when it gets to the IWW. So that's the key element there. Anarchism being the belief that government is discriminatory and favors the rich, and that for workers who had always been disaffected, that no government... Hold on, I'm getting an interruption here.